is the Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. This is Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with Greg Brannon, executive producer of the Panthers Television Network, all
Mr. Kraft.
Digital media. Greg's here because he has a lot of questions about our expense report, Brian, from Indy.
Yes, yeah.
He didn't believe we ate at Champs every night.
Yeah, well,
it must have been inside.
But anyway, let me continue my introductions. Brian Strickland, everybody knows, senior writer from Panthers.com. He and I have been working together. Hopefully he hasn't caught my cold. Dan LaTaraca, man keeping his finger on the pulse of all things social, is here as well. And we know that you guys, here's what you do. If you're at work and you're in front of your computer screen, I know you can go two different tabs, Panthers.com in one tab, Combine in the other. We can watch it in the studio as well because we are talking all things Combine. We spent the last few days there, Greg.
Yeah.
And we took it easy, skipped breakfast.
Well, because you didn't have time
to
eat breakfast.
And then dinner.
That's because all the calories went into dinner.
For the uninitiated, the Combine really has turned, it's always been an information gathering point for teams, but it has really turned that corner over the last really 4 or 5 years into another NFL media event. Mm-hmm. Maybe describe, Brian and Mike, just what you see now on NFL Network over the last 4 days. We're able to watch the drills and the 40s and all that kind of stuff. That's not what you guys saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Can we tag it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The teams, obviously, that's behind the scenes, get these 15-minute one-on-ones with the players. I mean, that's almost as crucial as anything for them up there. What me and Mike did was, we and a few hundred of our friends got sessions with each of the players, basically 4 straight days. It's a club suite lounge inside Lucas Oil Stadium that they convert into Media Central, 800 media members or so there this year. You've got 3 podiums set up. You've got 8 tables set up. And at any moment's notice, you could have 3 or 4 different prospects talking to the media at different areas. And me and Mike spent 4 days basically, right, Mike, scrambling around, getting a chance to get our own firsthand impressions of all these prospects.
Well, let me ask you about those impressions. As you had the opportunity to talk to those guys, Brian, let me start with you. Who was maybe a guy who stood out when you had that one-on-one FaceTime?
I mean, it's interesting. Sometimes first impressions can be deceiving. But, you just get a feel for a guy sometimes in that setting. You get a little taste of their personality, of how they handle pressure, maybe. It's a different type of pressure. A guy that, for me, there are a lot of impressive young men there, I would say. Mike, I mean.
Well, I'm going to keep it hometown because, one of the guys that created the biggest stir early on was Cordarrelle Patterson.
There you go.
And, I got to give a shout out to your Rock Hill native. And the thing about it is, and this is what I hope for him, because this young man comes in with a limited resume,
right,
but an awesome highlight film.
Mm-hmm.
And his work in other areas was fine too. So what my hope for him was, because he wanted to show that this whole thing wasn't too big for him, because you feel like a guy that had 1 year at Tennessee after playing junior college ball and goes to Tennessee. That sounds familiar. Let me see. There was a quarterback once who had similar success, Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. And I guess he wants to show along those veins that, I'm on the fast track, but my head is in the game. And I hope when he went to the interview process that he had the same charisma that he did with myself and all the other journalists. Because when he came in, they were going to put him on a podium, and he was shied off it a little bit, didn't he, Brian?
He did, yeah.
And he asked for a table setting, which is real cramped.
Right.
And I'm sure.
Which, by the way, we saw your mug all over the place.
Well, all over.
Yeah.
Because you were right on top of it.
Your AP debut.
I slipped a Mater D, a couple extra bucks, and got front row a good seat at the table. But he acted as if the process wasn't too big for him. And how that translated when he talked to the NFL teams will be real interesting to see. And that will have a lot because, really, he right now, from what he's done on the field and what he did in combine drills, he should be in that real upper stratosphere when you're talking about first 10, first 5 picks.
All right, so let me ask you, we hear so much about the process. We talk about it from the time the season ends, go down to Mobile for the Senior Bowl, you've got the combine, you have the pro days. In the greater scheme of things, in the talent evaluation, can a guy go into Indianapolis and hurt himself, help himself comparatively with the process?
Well, let me tell you real quickly, one guy that really helped himself, Teron Armstead from Arkansas Pine Bluff. Mm-hmm. For one, he came in a little unknown, but as you dig behind his story, it becomes very interesting. His coach in college is Monty Coleman, former Redskin.
Okay.
And an Arkansas native, I believe. But as he talked about that program, a lot of the coaches that he has at Arkansas Pine Bluff have a lot of pro experience. So he really came in with a good idea. And I'm sure over the last 3 or 4 years, they've been preaching to him exactly what it takes to get to the next level. And he came to the combine. Now, what happens? He runs a 4.740. And you're going, really? So now scouts got to go back, look at the tape again.
Right.
I mean, I even did it. First thing I did when I came back here, started looking at tape. And when you put the tape on and look at this guy, he has some real skills that translate to the next level. I think out of anybody, he may have put himself in the conversation where it wasn't even – he wasn't even on radar, yeah, except at the recent All-Star game.
Yeah, I would say, Greg, I think this is not a universal truth, but I think it's easier to help yourself at the combine than hurt yourself. I mean, certainly guys have hurt themselves at the combine. There's been some discussion about Manti Te'o. I don't know if you guys noticed he was at the combine or not, but he was up there. And, I mean, I think, you know, because, again, it goes back to what you did on the field during the season is still the main deal, you know, during your college season. But, I mean, basically with what you're saying with Armstead, people are going to look at him more. They're certainly going to say, well, this is a guy that now we need to look at closer because maybe he is a consideration in our slot, where we're slotted in the draft, whereas before they might have thought, you know, we know about this guy, that's fine. I don't think you just forget about guys, though, on the other hand, because they had a bad 40 up there. They're still on your radar. That's my opinion. I just think you can help yourself more than you can hurt yourself.
All right, so I'll apologize for the follow-up question. How was the Manti Te'o circus? Because, Mike, I know you shot me a text, and you're like, you wouldn't believe.
It was. It was. And a lot of the folks say I wasn't there for Cam Newton's press conference at the Combine. I've heard it was more people. You were there.
Yeah, I was there for that one. This one was. There were more people there. Part of the deal that made this one unique too is, Dan would appreciate this, is, you know, how prominent, how much Twitter has grown even over the last couple of years. With Cam a couple of years ago, everybody's going about their business. They know at some point during the day Cam Newton's going to appear. We don't get a set schedule. It's like they announce that somebody's coming and you rush over there. And that's what happened with Cam. But this year with Manti, there's so much lead up to it. NFL Network sends out a tweet that he's going to speak within an hour. Within an hour, and boom, the seats fill up, and everybody gets in a position, sits in front of an empty podium, thinking this might happen. And it's, you know, people are kind of laughing at themselves a little bit. What are we doing here? We don't actually have information. Yeah. And then, boom, another tweet goes out. It's going to be at least 2 hours, and everybody disappears. So that was fascinating
to
watch.
Turning the lights on in the kitchen.
All right. Can I turn the battleship, and let's talk Panthers?
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We better get to our fans.
Yeah, we got a lot
too.
Of fan questions coming in. Why don't we dive into some of those?
Want to do that first, or you want me to set the table?
Well, if you're going by your rundown that I neatly typed up, we'll be doing fan questions.
Stick to the script, Greg.
Number two.
Go ahead, GB.
Let me show everybody who's watching. That's it right there.
Yeah, you know.
High production value.
Which
right
actually, on your rundown.
I'm concise
you
in
had,
my typing.
You had indicated Panthers, and since we've not talked much about the Panthers
let's
yet,
go there.
For Coach Ron Rivera, he was actually on NFL Network this morning. You know, people asking what, and that's always the million-dollar question. What are you looking at? What are you shopping for? What are the Panthers looking at?
Well,
what are they shopping for?
If you go by NFL.com and they ask Coach the question, and I think it was a non-denial. Can you say that?
Yes.
So he didn't deny that we might be looking at receiver, but I mean, when you look at it needs for this team, and that conversation came up quite a bit, and my kind of analysis of the thing is, okay, look at where you have your biggest investments. On offense, you have your biggest investment in number one, in Cam Newton.
Sure.
Because he has pretty much been given the keys to the car. Okay. Now, when you have your investment in him, what you have to do is build the infrastructure around him for him to be a success. And I'm not talking out of turn, because that's exactly what Dave Gettleman and exactly what Coach Rivera said, that we have to help them grow.
Right.
On defense, you have to help Luke Kuechly grow. Yeah. What are two things that can help either one of those guys grow? For Cam, more receivers, more weapons. Sure. More weapons.
Right.
More weapons. Even if it's a punt returner who gives the team better field position.
Yeah.
And you know, and Luke Kuechly, nothing helps a middle linebacker more than a big run-stuffing one-gapper right in front of him, a la what you see in Baltimore.
You are going to
look at Mike like that.
You'll be dancing on draft day, won't you, if the Panthers select a defensive tackle?
They will.
Yeah.
They will at some point, but it doesn't have to be the first pick.
Right.
There's a lot of good football players out there.
Yeah.
So all those needs can be addressed in some form or another. They can be addressed after the draft when we have our free agent signees. They can be addressed during you got all these tools in the tool belt, the draft, free agency, and street free agents, and, you know, after the draft, that you can address these issues.
Speaking of which, Mike, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Brian. Okay. We had a question come in about defensive tackles, and this is a guy you got to see perform at the Combine. But Trayvon Shorter asks, has Sharif Floyd done enough at this point to consider taking him at 14, and what were your impressions of him?
He's done enough on tape.
Yeah,
you put on the University of Florida tape, and there's enough evidence. Okay, now, to Brian's point, he came into the Combine and did not hurt himself.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, definitely a consideration. It's quite a strong possibility he will not be there when we pick at 14.
Yeah,
just the fact that I'm saying that tells you that he would be a worthy consideration at 14. You know, going back to, you know, what Dave Gettleman speaking up in Indy, he has made no bones about liking – you know, you need big, strong guys to win. That's a big, strong guy. But there's, to Mike's point again, there's big, strong guys beyond the first round as well. I was going to follow up. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but your comment, your shopping analogy, we do have to make a couple returns before March 12th. That's the other side of this equation that we have to remember.
And that is the salary cap deadline. Yeah. Kicks us the team off into free agency. Thank goodness we don't have to worry about calculators.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But thank goodness.
We'll take care of it at the register.
Our budget reports did do a couple weeks ago. Plenty of calculators.
But thank goodness we have a man at the helm in Dave Gettleman who's been around the league for long enough to realize you have to make tough decisions.
Yep.
And he has given no indication that he's going to shy away from making tough decisions. And there's some players on the team that have to make tough decisions too, because – you know, if you want this team to get better and you know that your salary is a hindrance to this team moving forward, then, hey, you might have to restructure. And we know that's coming, right, Brian?
Yep. I mean, there's, you know, Dave was pretty frank at the Combine with us when he spoke to the media and said, you know, there's a salary cap issue to deal with here, but he's dealing with it head on, said there's no need to cry about it. It's just the reality of the NFL. We're not alone in dealing with that. And he's, you know, he also said no decisions have been made, but obviously he knows they've got to be made, and he's in that process.
So you have to get rid of some guys to get under the salary cap. On the other side of that, free agency, over the last 5-10 years, pretty much this organization has had a policy not to make huge moves in free agency, but just the right moves. Do you get the sense from Dave Gettleman that that's going to continue?
I think it will be reasonable, because he said in his very opening press conference that, you know, that they're going to start in the film room when they look at these free agents and not get caught up in the hype. And you can do that. I mean, there's some free agents out right now that, you know, teams are going to just that first fury of the free agency period just throw money at. And if you get caught up in that, buyer beware. Because it may not be the answer. And I know there's a question coming, but the answer may be on the roster already in some cases.
Yeah, you know, speaking of which, we have some fans asking about some guys that are
segue.
On the –
thanks.
Got to get in there when I can, you know. But trying to get in there with the practice squad guys.
Yes.
A lot of fans are asking which guys on the practice squad this past year could make an impact this year. It's sort of like the hidden free agent gems that we you know, already have in-house.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it just before we went on there, a couple guys that stand out. You reminded me of Lamont Bryant's play in the preseason finale when he had a long touchdown catch against the Steelers. I mean, long, big wide receiver that a lot of people would love to see what he can do. Mike, I know you have a favorite along those
Nelson,
lines.
Nelson Rosario.
Oh, yeah.
Because here's a guy with receiver skills. Now, he has to learn how to work with his hand in the dirt as a tight end. Right. But when you look around the league, the tight end position has changed. I mean, you look at Gronkowski and Graham. Those guys are good when they put their hand in the dirt. But they also provide some issues when they flex out or even – will go out wider than the wide receiver. Now, what do you do? If your corner's out wide, now you got a mismatch on the inside with a safety covering a wide receiver. You can do so much. And I know that our offensive staff has to be chomping at the bit to see guys like that bubble up, because in their second year, a lot of guys just say, hey, remember me.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Keep going with questions, Ernie. Oh, sure.
Well, you know, due to the combine happenings today, we have a lot of fans Montoni Miller, Caleb Owens, to name a few, they're asking, could the Panthers draft the Honey Badger to fill a needed defensive back?
You watched him a little bit today. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, what was our experience down in Mobile?
Well, and he wasn't even doing anything in Mobile. He came to one of the practices, and you're like, who's over there in the corner of the field that everybody circled around? Mm-hmm. Well, there it was, Tyrann Mathieu. Mm-hmm. And we're like, wow. Now, one thing to be a rock star.
Right.
Something entirely different. And I know, again, the coverage today, the DBs are doing the 40s and the drills and everything. I know you're in there watching. He's an impressive-looking football player.
Yeah, he had a good day today. But it will always, with this organization and many others, come with an asterisk because mm-hmm. he has a checkered pass.
Yep.
I mean, he didn't finish his college career because of issues and bad habits. But hey, you can always say, look at the athlete last year, Sonoris Jenkins.
Yep.
A guy who, when you put on the film, whether he was at Florida or I forgot where he finished, Alabama, somebody will correct me, something at A&M somewhere.
Nobody yet.
Okay. But anyway, nobody yet. But anyway, when you put on the tape, whether he was in Division I or whether he was in FBS or FCS.
Right.
I hope I got my alphabets right. He yes. played football. But here again, right. what will he be like when he gets in the league, signs the big contract? What will creep up to hurt your team? But and Mike, that's something you have to be aware of.
And isn't that, though, the underlying pulse of this process that we talk about, the talent evaluation? Why do you go to the Senior Bowl? To watch them in practice. How do they handle meeting rooms? Why do you go to the combine? Because you get to sit down face-to-face. Why do you go to the pro days? To see how these guys, these young men, handle these scenarios. But would you not agree that when it comes down to it, you just don't know?
You don't know.
It's true.
You don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of guys. 300-some guys there this weekend, right?
That's right. 333.
You need seven of them, and you need seven that work. That work for your organization. You could finish that sentence.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Got plenty more questions.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Kevin Johnson, a big fan of the show, asks you guys specifically, what positions do you think the Panthers are targeting in the draft, and what players helped his draft status the most this weekend?
Hmm.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of Coach Rivera, if you take his word, he said every position is a position of need. And there is a certain reality that every NFL team has to improve every year. I mean, I think the position groups that come to mind first, defensive tackle, we've already talked about, possibly secondary. You can never have enough good offensive linemen, and there are a few guys there that could be considered. And, depth at wide receiver comes to mind as well.
Well, and Brian, everybody talks, and Mike, you alluded to this, about that first-round pick. But how critical, second round, third round, fourth round, even into those last couple rounds, how important are those?
Yeah, you only pick one guy in the first round, and obviously that's part of the master plan is, do we look at this position in the first round, or will it be a position that's deep and we can look at it in the second round? And specific to that, I'll say defensive tackle is a pretty deep group, Mike, I think, from what we've seen.
Oh, no doubt.
It's human nature that you're going to focus on the first round, and that is an important pick. And we've hit home runs in the first round the first 2 years, last 2 years, rather. But also, Coach Rivera is excited when he looks at the draft last year as a whole, that every single guy we drafted contributed last year, and they have plans for them to contribute going forward. So those you cannot forget about those subsequent rounds.
One guy, you talked about guys helping themselves, Tavon Austin, okay, because there are always going to be questions when that tape measure goes up and it's 5'8"-ish, 9-ish, whatever. But the thing about it, when you look at him go through the receiver drills, he is so smooth in everything that he does. And when you put on the film, it is spectacular. So now coaches, okay, what position, where, you know, is he outside, is he a slot, you know, is he even a full-time receiver?
Yeah.
I mean, he is a utility player. And the thing about it, he came into the combine and he looked powerful. He passed the eye test. And I'm sure his interviews were sterling because he handled himself with the media pretty well.
Mike, a funny thing you said, you know, he helped himself. That's kind of a funny thing about picking 14. Is we've talked about this. Sometimes there might be a guy you don't want to have help himself quite so much.
Yeah, yeah,
sure. You know? I think about a guy like Lane Johnson, the left tackle from Oklahoma, who had the second best time for an offensive lineman in the 40 ever, right behind Armstead. And, you know, he's a guy that coming – everything will change in the next 2 months. This will all change. But anyway, before the combine – look like, oh, everybody says that's a guy that would be available to the Panthers if they were interested. And now, well, you know, he might be gone with the Panthers pick because he helped himself. Might not help the Panthers.
Well, and I heard somebody made the comment this week that, you know, I trust very much the opinion of talent evaluators, but that stops today until the draft, which means there's a lot of smoke being blown between now and when the draft happens.
Yeah. Well, but the coverage is going to continue, and it's going to continue right here on Panthers.com because over the next few weeks, we'll get on the road, Greg and I.
Road trip.
Yeah, we'll get in the Craftmobile or if it's running and hit our local colleges for all the combines. So you definitely want to stay logged on to Panthers.com. Boy, I tell you, we could just talk for an hour.
Absolutely.
On the combine and also the draft coverage. But, Berkeley, we got to go.
He's waving
the music.
He's waving at you.
Hey, thanks for spending your lunch break with us. As always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. This is Mike Kraft on behalf of Greg Brannon, also my man Brian Strickland. Max Henson not in the chair because he's doing the technical.
He's doing the techno
we're,
side.
We're cross-training in this department.
That's right.
That's right.
The more you can do.
Berkeley Dickens on the board, and also Dan Laftaraca. Dan,
thanks
keeping
Mike.
A pulse on all things social. We'll see you right here, same place, same time, on Panthers.com.